Welcome to Paycheck Paradox. This is the show and the blog all about finding that direct path to financial independence. We focus on, you know, those investment strategies that help you minimize and then hopefully totally eliminate your reliance on that W-2 income.
And today we're really digging into how you can find these asymmetrical gains in a market that's, well, completely chaotic. Our whole discussion is based on a fantastic analysis that just went up on paycheckparadox.com. The title is The Venezuela Pop, Producers versus Builders.
Okay, yes. This is a perfect case study.
It's immediate, it's high stakes, and it's a great lesson in market mispricing.
So let's set the stage here. We are talking about a massive geopolitical event, January 3rd, 2026. Operation Absolute Resolve.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the news flash that just rocked everything. The capture of President Nicolas Maduro and Celia Flores.
It was a shockwave. I mean, a genuine shockwave. And for context, this wasn't some slow burn coup.
Right, not at all.
This was reported everywhere as a swift, really decisive action.
Okay.
And that signaled to the market that regime change was happening now.
And also, crucially, that it was probably externally supported, heading towards a fast, stabilized resolution.
Exactly. Stability. Not a drawn-out civil war. That's the critical piece the market had to figure out how to price.
So what happened first? The immediate Wall Street reaction was, I mean, it was the definition of a knee-jerk play.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone just slammed the buy oil button.
Well, the old play button.
It's baked into market memory, you know. Instability in a major oil producer like Venezuela, that equals supply risk, which sends crude prices up. Or so the thinking goes.
Right. So traders just reacted to the headline, not the actual mechanics underneath.
And if you bought blindly that Monday morning, January 5th, you felt like an absolute genius.
For about an hour.
For about an hour, yeah. We saw this massive initial pop across the entire energy sector. We're talking the big producers like ExxonMobil, Chevron.
XOM and CVX.
Right. And they popped right alongside the oil field service giants. The builders, like Schlumberger and Halliburton.
SLB and HAL.
Exactly. They were all just thrown into one big bucket, the oil trade.
But that's where the real story begins, isn't it?
That's where the lesson is, because if you just chase that headline, you were basically just gambling. The two groups started diverging almost immediately.
So that's what we're going to unpack today. We want to pull the signal out of all that noise.
Yeah.
We want to understand why, in just 48 hours, the money that piled into XOM and CVX just vanished.
While the capital that flowed into SLB and HAL, it held firm. And it generated some serious gains.
You are separating the producers from the builders.
The goal here is to show you how to spot the specific profit mechanism in a crisis. You have to ask, you know, what kind of invoices are guaranteed to be printed. That's so much more valuable than just betting on a sector.
Got it. And hey, for anyone who's a visual person and wants to see the charts we're talking about, just a reminder, there's a video on YouTube that covers this entire analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the little disclaimer, this is all for educational purposes. This is definitely not financial advice.
Oh,
look, if you're taking stock picks from a conversation like this, you should probably also ask your cat for some portfolio diversification ideas.
Let's jump in. Let's talk about that 48-hour shift, because the market started out pricing in one thing.
Fear.
Pure fear. The idea of like $150 oil because of a massive supply disruption.
But the very nature of Operation Absolute Resolve, that swift action you mentioned, that meant the market really quickly shifted from pricing in fear to pricing in.
Well,
success.
And that is the absolute killer for the producers, for Group A, XOM, and CVX.
Why? Explain that.
Their business model is super simple. Higher crude prices mean higher profit margins. End of story.
Okay.
But a U.S.-backed regime change, which is what the market started to assume was happening, that points to one long-term outcome.
Sanctions get lifted.
Sanctions get lifted. And most importantly, Venezuelan oil production gets modernized. It gets optimized.
Okay, but hold on a minute. If a huge oil country like Venezuela, we're talking some of the largest reserves on the planet, if it gets stabilized and brought back online, shouldn't that be good for Exxon and Chevron? I mean, maybe they get new drilling rights or something?
That is a great question, and it's where the analysis on paycheckparadox.com gets really, really interesting. In the long, long term, yes, access is good. But the immediate market reaction, the thing it realized in those first 48 hours,
mm-hmm.
was actually a bearish factor for the price of oil itself.
Wow.
Think about it. The global market is already, you know, delicately balanced, some would even say oversupplied.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens to the global price of crude if a newly stabilized Venezuela suddenly starts flooding the market with millions of extra barrels?
Oh, I see it now. The fear premium just evaporates.
Sure.
And what you're left with is pricing in a potential supply glut.
You've traded geopolitical risk for supply risk. That's
yeah.
it. The traders who bought XOM and CVX on the headline were betting on $100+ crude. The second the probable outcome became more oil, not less, those gains had to be sold. Fast.
So the producers, the ones who profited from the price of oil, got hammered by the market realizing this crisis was actually heading toward more supply.
Exactly.
So let's pivot. Let's talk about Group B, the builders. Schlumberger and Halliburton,
yeah.
They just sailed right past that whole supply glut problem.
They did, because their core business, their opportunity here, is totally decoupled from the daily spot price of crude.
Their money comes from the physical necessity of the work.
Yes. We are talking about infrastructure that has been literally rotting for decades. Just total mismanagement and zero capital investment under the old regime.
So paint a picture for us. When you say decrepit infrastructure, what are SLB and HAL actually being hired to do? It's not just plug in a few leaks, is it?
Oh, it's so far beyond that. Venezuela needs a total ground-up overhaul of its ability to even pump oil. This means new deep-sea rigs, or at least heavily refurbished ones. It means that sophisticated directional drilling tech that a company like SLB is famous for.
Right.
It's replacing hundreds of ancient pumps. It's implementing modern seismic mapping software to actually find and tap the reserves efficiently.
So they're not just selling a commodity service. They're selling proprietary tech, highly specialized engineering, things the new Venezuelan government can't possibly do on its own.
They are, for all intents and purposes, essential monopolies in this cleanup.
That's the rebuild trade.
That's the rebuild trade. It is based on contracts, on capital expenditure, on necessary work. It doesn't matter if crude is at $60 or $90 a barrel. If Venezuela wants to pump its oil,
they have to rebuild the hardware first.
They have to. The work is guaranteed. The trade is robust because it's a non-negotiable step one.
They're just printing invoices to clean up the mess.
That's all it is. The profit flows to the service provider, the company selling the wrench, the rig, the whole engineering plan, not the eventual owner of the oil. And that necessity, that's why the money flowed in so heavily and why it stayed there.
Okay, so let's move from the theory to the actual results that were published in the analysis, mm-hmm. because this is where it just becomes, I mean, impossible to deny.
Yeah.
The charts themselves were screaming this lesson.
The numbers are stark. Yeah,
yeah.
You look at the producers, XOM and CVX, they gapped up, what, 2 or 3% Monday morning, all fueled by that initial fuel.
That was just fast blind money, right, which created this huge whipsaw.
Precisely. XOM, I think, traded on something like 5 times its average daily volume in those 2 days. A huge amount of capital just churning.
But going nowhere.
Going nowhere. Because as soon as that supply glut reality started to sink in, those gains were liquidated. The analysis showed that by Tuesday evening, XOM was actually trading lower than before Operation Absolute Resolve even happened.
Wow. So you took on all that geopolitical risk and ended up underwater.
It is the absolute definition of an expensive lesson in chasing a headline. Huge risk, huge volume, and a net loss.
Okay. Now compare that to the builders. SLB and HAL.
Totally different story. They also opened higher, of course, but the trading dynamic was completely different. They kept climbing all through Monday, and they held those gains on Tuesday.
What does that tell you? That sustained buying? What kind of capital is that?
That signals high conviction capital. It wasn't retail FOMO. It was institutional money identifying these companies as the clear long-term winners of a massive CapEx cycle.
And the results.
These service stocks held onto gains that were, you know, close to double digits in just 48 hours. The money that bought the work was right, and it stuck around.
It's just a perfect illustration of how those big sector labels can be so misleading in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
When everyone's obsessed with the price, the smart money is focused on the guaranteed invoices.
And, you know, there's a little note in there that I think really reinforces the lesson. The author of the Post. They didn't even jump into this trade, personally.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. They mentioned being nearly fully invested in just preaching discipline over chasing volatility. The point isn't about perfectly executing every single trade. It's about recognizing the pattern. That recognition is the real key.
Okay, so let's boil this all down. For someone listening, what's the core investing lesson we take away from this Venezuela pop? What's the framework for the next time something like this happens?
The framework is, well, it's pretty simple. sector investing is lazy.
Okay.
I mean it. You can't stop your analysis at the macro trend, lumping the producers and the service companies into the same bucket. That's why people missed the distinct alpha here.
But wait a second. You're making this rebuild trade sound almost risk-free. I mean, what if this new Venezuelan government turns out to be unstable? Or what if they just run out of cash because oil prices are low? Surely those contracts with HAL and SLB could get, you know, canceled or renegotiated. That seems like a huge risk.
That's a crucial question. It really is. And it speaks to how long you stay in the trade. The risk is there, for sure. But it's mitigated by the absolute necessity of the work. Think of it this way. If the government fails to pay the builders, they fail to pump the oil. Their entire source of national revenue is directly tied to those rebuild contracts.
So paying the builders becomes the number one priority.
It has to be. It's priority number one, even over other essential government spending, because the builders literally control the faucet that fills the treasury.
So that completely reframes the risk. The builders are basically a super high priority creditor in this new political structure.
Exactly. So when you're looking at any distressed nation, any event that might unlock a resource, the analysis has to go deeper. It can't just be, will the commodity price go up?
It has to be.
It has to be. Who benefits from the price of the commodity and who benefits from the work required to get it? And the analysis shows, clear as day, that in this case, the money was on the work.
The lesson is to invest in the necessary process, which has a contract, instead of the volatile outcome, which is subject to global markets.
Mm-hmm.
That is a powerful distinction.
Every single investment is a bet on a future reality, you know? The highest probability bet here was on the guaranteed need for specialized tools and labor, not on hoping a fear premium would last.
That is a fantastic breakdown. Okay, let's leave our listeners with one last thought to chew on this week, building on this whole work versus price idea.
Sure. We saw this play out perfectly with oil. So the question to ask yourself is, what other critical global commodities?
Like rare earth minerals or copper.
Or even agricultural output, yeah. Which of these rely on severely dilapidated infrastructure from years of neglect or conflict or sanctions?
So where is the next profitable rebuild trade? Just lurking, waiting for a geopolitical catalyst to unlock it. That's a really powerful lens to view the world through.
The world is full of messes that need cleaning up.
And the first money in usually goes to the people who print the invoices for that cleanup.
Always follow the invoices.
Wise words. Well, thank you for tuning into Paycheck Paradox and for engaging with the analysis over at paycheckparadox.com. Be on the lookout for our next episode, where we'll keep analyzing investments that get you closer to true financial independence.